The Senate will be in order. Will everyone in the Senate and the galleries please rise for the prayer by the Reverend Gock and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
From the 134th Psalm we hear, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Again, we would ask of you, O Lord, that you fill our hearts and minds with peace as we stay close to you, as we finish our work here for this day and head home to those who have given us to love. It is your grace that makes times here and at home filled with your blessings, and it lifts our hearts to sing your praise and give thanks and be filled with love. So we give thanks and praise for the blessings given to us and our safe travel home again. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from Andrews, I assume you were late. Senator from Andrews is here. Senator from Newton. Senator from Newton is here. Quorum being established, the Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, 20th day, Wednesday, February 8th, 2017. The Senate.
Senator
met
from Cole, the purpose you're at.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
Senator from Cole has moved that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as fully read. Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none. Senator from Cole, you're recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Those of the opinion that the motion shall prevail say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Cole, purpose to rise.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the benefit of the body, Ron Kirsch from WDAF-TV out of Kansas City has been granted permission to take photos or videos in the Senate chambers today.
Duly noted. Introduction of guest. Introduction of guest. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Some special guests with me today.
You may proceed.
To your left and my right, I have two very special guests, my wife, Aubrey, and our son, Willem, who has turned 4 years old today. Today is his fourth birthday, so we thought we'd bring him to the Capitol. He is not a stranger to this place, but this is his first time here as a four-year-old, and for some reason it just feels different. So I'd ask if he could be made page for the day to serve without compensation. That would be fantastic, and for the body to give him a warm welcome.
That young man will be made page today. And let's please welcome the wife and the son of the senator from Boone in this chamber today. Introduction of guest. Introduction of guest. Petitions, memorials, and remonstrances. Resolutions, concurrent resolutions, Senator from Cole. What
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire of the senator from the 14th?
Senator from the 14th. Senator from the 14th is not a... Senator from the 14th is present. Senator from the 14th, you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Cole.
Yes, Mr. President.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Senator, for taking my inquiry. I looked over my shoulder once and saw you, and I didn't mean you to have to run back into the chamber.
Thank you.
I met one of your, one of the fine, what would I say, one of your fine office helpers this morning.
Yes, four-legged.
I met Lily.
Yes, Lily.
Lily Freedom.
Yes, that is her name.
She liked me.
She's the watch. She did. She was very favorable to you.
And I, as I made, as I said to your office staff, which they thought was very funny, this is the only woman that likes me.
You did say that.
Senator, I just wanted to quickly inquire of you because I know you might have something going on today that the body might want to hear about.
Yes, I just wanted to remind the body, senators as well as their staff and interns and any House members, they are welcome to come to my office upon adjournment 30 minutes after adjournment for the PowerPoint that I have been showing and will continue to show about radioactive waste. It's an issue that's very important to our entire state, but everyone is welcome to come. Thank you.
And will Lily be there?
Lily will be there.
Perfect. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Concurrent resolutions. Introduction of bills. Senator from Callaway, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
A
no
bill?
Explanation necessary.
Please send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 407, introduced by Senator Riddle, an act relating to radiologic imaging and radiation therapy certification.
Introduction of bills. Senator from the 15th.
I have two bills.
Please send your bills forward.
No explanation needed.
Madam Secretary, please read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 408, introduced by Senator Koenig, an act relating to abortion.
Madam Secretary, read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 409, introduced by Senator Koenig, an act relating to the public school retirement system of the City of St. Louis.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Franklin, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have two bills. No explanation necessary.
Send your two bills forward. Madam Secretary, please read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 410, introduced by Senator Schatz, an act relating to dental professionals practicing in hospitals.
Madam Secretary, please read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 411, introduced by Senator Schatz, an act relating to the Bi-State Metropolitan Development District.
Introduction of bills. Senator from the 24th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward.
No explanation necessary.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the bill. This is what we need more.
Senate Bill number 412, introduced by Senator Shoup, an act relating to energy efficiency.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Senator from Webster, a purpose to rise.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, your committee Webster, on fiscal oversight
Senator,
has reported.
Senator from Webster, hold on just a minute. Hearing no objections, we will go to the order of business of standing committee reports. Senator from Webster.
Thank you again, Mr. President. Your committee on fiscal oversight has a report.
Please send your report forward.
Mr. President, your Committee on Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred Senate Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 16, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Cunningham, Chairman.
Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a committee report from your Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments. A list of the appointments have been distributed and asked the waiver of the reading.
Send your report forward. Hearing no objections. Haven't made the motion yet, Senator. Yeah. Senator, send your report forward. And it has been distributed. Is that correct?
It has been distributed.
Okay. Send your committee report forward. And are you asking for a reading to be waived?
I ask the reading be waived. The reports have been distributed. Oh. Mr. President.
Hearing no objections, your reading will be waived.
Mr. President, I request unanimous consent of the Senate to vote the reports in one motion.
Senator from 7th objects. Senator from Newton.
The objection is to what?
Being in one report and ask that Carol Comer, Acting Director of Department of Natural Resources, and Ann Preseth, the Director of Department of Corrections, be voted on separately.
Senators, there's no debate on this. All right. Senator from the 7th, state your objection.
I am objecting to the vote on the report in one motion.
Thanks, Senator. Senator from Newton.
And I'm trying to understand if I make the next motion, which ones he's objecting to, so I can ask the unanimous consent on the others.
Senator from Newton, would you like to inquire from the Senator from the 7th?
Senator from the 7th, which ones are you objecting
Senator
to?
Senator 7th, do you yield to the Senator from Newton on an inquiry?
I do, yes.
Okay. You may proceed.
Which senators are you, Senator, which people are you objecting to on the motion?
I would like to have a separate discussion and vote on Carol Comer, the Director of Department of Natural Resources Acting, and the Acting Director of Department of Corrections, Ann Preseth.
Okay. Mr. President, I request unanimous consent of the Senate to vote on reports with the exception of the committee report on Ann Preseth, Department of Correction, and Carol Comer, Department of Natural Resources.
The Senator from Newton requests unanimous consent for the Senate vote on the reports with the exception of the two named individuals that the Senator from the 7th objected to. Hearing no objections, the request is granted. Senator from Newton.
I move that the committee report be adopted and the Senate do give its advised consent to the appointments.
You've heard the motion by the Senator from Newton. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Andrews, what purpose do you rise?
Just a point of inquiry, Mr. President. So is the motion to accept...
Senator, who are you inquiring?
Of you, Mr. President.
Okay.
Yeah. A point of parliamentary procedure inquiry. Is the motion to adopt the three unanimous consent individuals at this point, or is the motion to vote on one of the other two, or is it both of the other two?
My understanding is you're going to vote on the three that wasn't objected to.
We're going to do that. That's the motion right now.
And the next motion coming from the Senator from Newt will be the others, either in a package of two or in a package of one. They'll be voting on them, depending on what the objection, if there is objections.
Mr. President, thank you for clarifying that.
You're welcome. Does any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator from Newton is recognized to close.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Yes, we are voting unanimous consent on Sarah Steelman, Christine Chin, Charles Andrew Juden. The others will be voted on separately in due course. With that, Mr. President, I close.
The Senator from Newton renews his motion. Senator from Newton moves that the committee report be adopted and the Senate do give its advice and consent to set appointments. Those of the opinion the motion shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The committee report is adopted. Senator from Newt.
Mr. President, I move the committee report be adopted and the Senate give its advice and consent the appointment of Ann Precise, Department of Corrections.
You've heard the motion made. I'm sorry, Madam Secretary, please read that appointment.
Mr. President, your Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments, to which was referred the following appointment, Ann L. Precise, 405 South 4th Street, Smithfield, Johnston County, North Carolina, 27577, as Director of the Department of Corrections for a term ending at the pleasure of the Governor and until her successor is duly appointed and qualified, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate do give its advice and consent to said appointment. Respectfully submitted, Senator Richard Chairman.
You heard the motion made by the senator from Newton. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you rise?
I'd like to inquire the senator from Green.
Senator from Green. Senator from Green does not appear to be in the chamber, and he has just arrived in the chamber. Senator from Green, do you yield from an inquiry from the senator from the 7th? Senator from the 7th, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. I'm sorry I was in the back, went back to get some water and got into a conversation.
It's okay.
What are we?
I appreciate you taking my inquiry. What we've done so far is we adopted the three nominees in one motion, and I've asked to separate two of the appointees to be discussed individually and have individual votes.
Which ones were those? I'm sorry, I wasn't.
The first one we're on right now is Ann Precise for Department of Corrections. I wanted to have a discussion with you a little bit about the process of how this has worked in the past, how it's working now, and how we believe that it could possibly work better in the future. I'll talk about the process first and then get a little bit into the particulars of the Department of Corrections, and then we can have a vote.
May I, I'm happy to have that inquiry with you, but can I say a few things before we get into that discussion?
Absolutely.
Well, first of all, I love this chamber, and it's been a little bit of a rough week around here. That's probably an understatement. But, you know, Thursday's getaway day. We all understand that, and it's possibly tempting for any member to see what you've done and maybe my willingness to talk about a number of things here as, oh my goodness, they're up talking, so that must be a filibuster, they're going to block that appointment. I want to say from the get-go, nothing could be further from the truth, because I support both of these nominees. I've had a great opportunity to talk with them, and with the first one in particular, as it relates to some issues that I'm going to be working on that I have not filed, I have not talked to members about, and I think is frankly a very bipartisan issue, could save us a lot of money. I've had the opportunity to talk to the nominee, and it's worked. Wasn't their idea. I shared it with them, but it parlays with what has been done in her home state, and they saw a reduction in crime, and they also saved money. And so that said, I'm very supportive, and I think, there's a good vision there.
Well, here's why I did what I did.
However, I just want to make sure people understand it's good for us to have these discussions. We do have a lot of these discussions off our floor. I want to commend the chief executive for encouraging these nominees to come around to us. I want to thank our leadership for, I'm sure that they had a hand in making sure that the second floor knew they needed to do that. So that's what advice and consent is, kind of to your point in the process. But I think these are great people, and I do think that we have a role to play in the appointment process, separation of powers. It's very important that we utilize that in the right way. It's not just consent. It is advice, and that also includes, we know people that are willing to serve or might be willing to serve. We need to give advice on who those might be, but we also need to advise on the appointments. So, well, now, what would you like to talk about?
Okay. The reason why I decided to go through this exercise was for two reasons. One, because we have new members who haven't seen this happen before, and I want to show them that if you want to talk about an appointee, you have that power as a senator to do. Just like we saw, you can separate them out and you can have a conversation. It doesn't necessarily indicate that you're going to try to filibuster on a Thursday to stop their nomination. It just means that you have a role to play in deciding whether they get to be confirmed or not.
We have a constitutional duty.
We have a constitutional duty. And I want to talk a little bit about not only our role in this process, but also our role as sponsors. Because each one of us has the responsibility and the privilege of being able to sponsor an appointee that the governor selects. And that is up to the individual senator, whether they choose to do that or not.
That's correct.
So I wanted to talk about how Governor Nixon did it. What he did was he had a person that was responsible for these appointees, A.J. Fox was his name, and this individual would reach out when the governor made an appointment and first verbally contact the senator and say, we have identified a citizen in your district that we believe would be a good fit to serve in this capacity, whether it's a board or a commission or a department, and we would like for you to sponsor this person to the Senate for confirmation. That's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
Second step is to get their resume, to get the background check that our staff provides us, and then it's on the senator to decide if they want to take the next step of meeting and sitting down and talking with that nominee to decide if they want to sponsor that individual or not. And in the old Senate, it used to be that once a senator made the determination that they were indeed going to sponsor this person, then it was no longer the governor's appointee. It was the senator's sponsor.
Well, that wasn't just the old Senate. That was 8 and 10 years ago.
But here's...
just so we're clear.
But I want... And I bring that up because I want... This hasn't been talked about yet, and I wanted to take this opportunity to talk about it. The governor sent back 60 names of appointees that Governor Nixon had submitted.
Uh-huh.
And of those 60 names, there are members of both parties. Mm-hmm. I could read through them and tell you which ones were Democrats and Republicans, but quite a few of both. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that there's precedent for governors who are newly elected.
That's commonplace.
To send back those. Mm-hmm. And I understand that there could be potentially politics involved as well, you know, trying to get folks who supported you or whatever in positions that you believe that either there would be benefit there for them or you or they would do a good job. There's politics involved in that as well.
Sure. And in my belief is, in conversation I've had, that a number of those people that were sent back will probably be resubmitted. I specifically have advised in context of the ones that were from my district, and they're very good people. I actually had helped them become appointed by the previous governor. But it's a governor's prerogative to, I believe, look at those again when they come into office. And so I have no problem with that.
I don't disagree with that.
But I am going to stick to my guns and hope they're reappointed, though.
Well, and my point is that once a senator decides to sponsor a citizen in their district, then the Senate should respect and work with that senator if they have a problem on the nominees. Now, these two that I pulled out are from out of state. So the president pro tem is their sponsor today, and I gave him a heads up that I wanted to have this conversation.
Where do they live?
I think the one in front of us is in North Carolina, and the one that's going to come after.
But they have they moved here yet?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I mean, I
think if they haven't moved here, I think it's acceptable that the.
I don't take issue with that part of it. I just want to point out that a senator's role in this process is very important. And I want to, because our governor is new at this process, and there's no manual, it's not like you show up on day one and you get a how to be governor manual.
Well, yes, there is. Sorry, I don't mean to take issue with you. There's 20 statute books in all of our offices. And by the way, I just came from the Committee on Legislative Research, which I was asked yesterday to chair the committee for the next 2 years. We're republishing our statutes, and I've been thinking we're going to have a lot more books. We're actually going to be able to keep it to 20 books, but it's 5,000 more pages than before. It's cheaper to print the paper and bind it than the covers, so we're going to get more pages into each book. There's 18,000 pages now of state law in 20 books. And, you know, it took 150 years of statehood to come up with 10 of them, and we've crammed more in. And I told them downstairs, some of the stuff in the 5,000 that we passed in the 10 years resembles some little presents that I saw on my grandfather's farm when I was a child. Oh, there is a manual.
I'm glad you're in charge of that.
There is a manual, and of course we can't leave out the Constitution, but it's a steep learning curve.
It is.
I think that's really your point.
And so here's why we're having this conversation. See, last week I requested to meet with the governor to discuss this process, to discuss my advice on these individuals that he's placed before us, and unfortunately, rather it was through scheduling or the fact that he's busy, that meeting did not occur. So I have to use this opportunity to express my advice to the governor about the process.
Did anybody contact you from the office?
I was told that they were working on it, and here we are without having had a discussion.
Well, that's not right. And so, I didn't know that before we talked about that. I didn't know that nobody contacted you. But a senator is a senator is a senator. And, you know,
well, it's okay because
I just learned about this as we're talking. I had one other conversation that I was aware from someone else that you wanted a phone call.
I wanted to provide advice on the process.
I would recommend
of how this could go in a better way because, again, it hasn't been done before. And I understand that.
My recommendation to any chief executive would be that when a senator asks for either a phone call or a meeting, especially on a constitutional duty where there is a clear duty on both sides and there's a separation of powers, let's not have needless political battles on either side. Let's just make government work.
Well, and the reason why I wanted to have a direct conversation with him is because ultimately these directors will answer to him. and his ideology and his vision for the state and his determinations on what these departments' missions are going to be reside with him. So the advice had for their role needed to be discussed with the governor, and that was unable to happen. So we're having this discussion now.
Well, and they all answer to, you know, they all answer to us in the appropriations process. Now, I've stood on this floor and complimented Governor Nixon. I've stood on this floor and criticized Governor Nixon. But I will say this. Every time I called that office, as well as the previous two governors I've served under, there was, you know, somebody got back with me. Sometimes you mentioned A.J. Fox. A.J. would get with me. Now, A.J. was, I think, the third or fourth person in that office under Governor Nixon that handled appointments. They kind of got off to a rough start, and it never they never really quite caught up. And we had over 1,500 vacancies on boards and commissions. The governor was correct, by the way, when he said that under during his tenure as governor, and it was all Republican legislature, we'd added 300 more positions to boards and commissions. So we need to be cognizant of that. I just saw a bill the other day, this blue alert. Great idea. It's more government. It creates another board. There's no reason why we can't merge that under the Amber Alert system. But, you know, we just do things the way we do them because that's how we've done them. And then I have to deal with 5,000 more pages and how we're going to print it and do a constitutional, meet a constitutional requirement when we last year cut funding to the people that print the statutes. And we've got to provide them to the people that sent us here so they know what the stinking law is. That's more than you wanted to talk about, but it's great for me to be able to finish.
No, it's okay. So I want to conclude our inquiry with the advice that I would have given him in private had I had the opportunity to do so.
Well, okay? My advice would be to always call a senator back and always be willing to meet, and if you can't, send somebody. If it's just the lowest person on your staff, this, you know, we're equals. We're equals. This body and the House, we are equals with the other two branches, and it better stay that way. That's the Constitution.
Here's my advice. Choose somebody in your organization that is going to be solely responsible for this aspect. As you mentioned, there are many, many vacancies on important boards and commissions that must be filled. That is going to require cooperation from all of us. And if we have somebody who is the A.J. Fox of the new administration that can be that person and build that relationship, it's going to be easier to disseminate that information and to communicate.
Well, that's, yes, I would agree with that, and it is the duty of the legislature, specifically the Senate, the legislative branch, but specifically the Senate, to...
Senator, we have an introduction real quick that I want to allow to happen.
Certainly.
Senator from Barton, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, seeking unanimous consent for some special introductions.
Hearing no objections, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. To your right and on my left, I have three special individuals from Nevada. Well, actually, two are from Nevada. Ryan is from St. Charles. But the doctor of the day, first of all, Dr. Warren Lovinger from Nevada, an old friend of our families, was my mother's doctor for many years. And I would certainly ask the body in just a moment to welcome him. His wife, Marilyn, is also with him. And Ryan Rader, who is a medical student, soon to complete medical school and begin practicing. I would ask the body if they would please give a warm welcome.
Let's please welcome the guest from the Senator Barton to the chamber today. Senator from Cole, what purpose do you rise?
I'm sorry to interrupt the debate between our colleagues, but I too seek unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Hearing no objections, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a great honor for me to welcome some outstanding athletes today, Mr. President, from Osage County. They're here with one, two, three, or sometimes four teams about every year. It is one of my favorite and former Lieutenant Governor's favorite schools because it is Our Lady of Fatima Public School. It's actually called the Fatima Comets now, Mr. President. They consistently place teams in the Final Four with at least one state championship every year. In 2016, continued that tradition. With us today are two Fatima Comets with the Final Four under their belt this past year. First, though, in the gallery, we have 2016 Class 2 state third place boys cross country team, if they could please rise. And it's the team's sixth consecutive year of a state Final Four finish. And the state champion girls cross country team, the very first team in state country history to have all seven varsity members earn all state honors. To my right are seniors Anna Massman and Katie Fechtel and coach Marcus Bridges. And in the gallery with us today are Brianna Haller, Kendall Haller, Alyssa Strump, Kaylee Wood, Caitlin Vanderfels, Alex Fisher, Hannah Keppel, Lindsay Conley, Madison Conley, Sierra Sankey, Erica Rinkemeyer, and Hannah Kemp, along with Superintendent Chuck Woody and Principal Jeff Boothold. These student athletes are among Osage County's finest. They're among the Senate 6th District's finest, and I ask that you join me in making these Fatima High School athletes and Superintendent Woody and Principal Boothold feel welcome in the Senate chambers today.
Would all the guests of the Center from Cole please rise and be recognized by the members of the Missouri Senate. Senator from the 7th, perhaps you rise.
Well, to continue my inquiry. Senator, I always welcome the interruption of debate for introductions because those who travel to see us, this is their house, this is their chamber. We should pause in our deliberation to allow them to be recognized. And so if anybody else has any special guests, just let us know. So my first advice was to pick somebody that this is their responsibility.
Right.
My second piece of advice is to your point, work with the senators to identify people in their districts that would be a good fit for these number of vacancies that we have. There's a wealth of information right here in this room of people that we know in our districts that are talented and capable citizens. And that goes to my third point. Prioritize Missouri. I'm seeing a lot of out-of-state folks take over these jobs. And that doesn't mean they're not qualified, and that doesn't mean that they can't do the job. But there are 6 million people that are in our state, and those Missourians should have priority to run their own government. And while an outsider can be good from time to time, and sometimes you are benefited from a fresh perspective, Missourians are equally capable and qualified to do these jobs. And I would encourage the governor to start looking within our state to populate state government with its own citizens.
Well, I might have a different perspective on it. I think I would agree with part of what you said. I think there's wonderful people here. I will say this. This is an opportunity for me to say I hope that people will start listening to our debate because my office just got contacted wanting to make sure that I still liked the nominee. They didn't hear all of the nice things that I said in expressing support at the beginning of our discussion. I hope they will tune in. It's very important to stay in contact both with us individually as a body, but you know, if nobody's calling you back or nobody's willing to meet with you, your only opportunity is to say something here, and if I'm talking with you, they need to be able to at least hear what I'm saying and knowing that I'm expressing my support. It's separation of powers, but we ought to listen to one another.
Right.
I had some of these same frustrations with, it's not frustration. We have been down this path with previous governors and their staff. You mentioned A.J. Fox that used to work for Governor Nixon. What I started to say earlier was that there were times that Governor Nixon got ahead of himself and wanted to go out and make the announcement publicly about an appointee before ever contacting the Senate sponsor, which I raised Cain with them about because if you're going to keep doing that, I'm not going to sponsor people that you announce from my district because that's not the way you do things. You know, the governor does not run the General Assembly. And does not. There is a check and a balance. And if we work together, we don't get into these road bumps and get hung up. You know, I don't want to see the disagreements that played out this week, which I believe were unfortunate
It was a difficult week, but I don't want to see, because any kind of disruption to order is unfortunate, and there's a lot of wrong to go around, but I don't want to see that play out between the branches of government either. So it takes cooperation. It takes getting to know one another. It takes courtesy. It takes a return phone call. It takes being willing to sit down and meet with a senator. You represent the same people in your district that all the statewide officials do. And so that's very important. We also have a role to play in coming up with nominees. So I don't want to put it all on the executive branch, like they have to find all these people. It's our duty to find people. You know, I talked earlier about the 1,500 vacancies we had under Governor Nixon. It was an all-time high. It was a problem with every governor, but the number of vacancies on state boards and commissions was at an all-time high. Some boards couldn't even function because they didn't have a quorum. And it's not just the governor's fault. It's our role is to advise and to consent to appointments. We need to be advising, giving advice on who specifically in our districts would be willing to serve. We also need to hit the brakes. That is our role over here. And I would submit that we need some brake fluid on some things, because the brakes sometimes don't work as well. And, you know, the House is a wonderful gas pedal. The Senate should be the brakes. The governor's office is kind of the steering wheel. But let's not get in a wreck. It takes all of us. We need to be hitting the brakes when we see bills come through here that create more boards and commissions, because we're exacerbating the problem. And then if we don't turn around and advise with some kind of, you know, potential person that would be willing to serve, we're part of the problem and these boards can't function.
Well, my message was simple. Communicate with the Senate and prioritize Missourians. That's the message. I'm glad that we've had this conversation for the new members.
And I would agree with that. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I would agree with that, just to reiterate. But there's a lot of talent around the country, and I think it's great to be able to bring people in if they've proven themselves. And in my discussions with this particular nominee for corrections, I'm actually excited, because some of the ideas that we mutually had in our discussion, there is a way, and I'm going to be bringing the bill forward here in the next few weeks, but there's a way we could save a lot of money. We could better adhere to the constitutional principles dealing with the justice system, and we could reduce crime and have a completely different mindset and paradigm about corrections. And that's what this nominee, not exactly, but the concept of looking at corrections holistic. We don't need to be going and building more prisons. There is another, we've got to get smart on crime. And then, you know, I'm excited about this nominee because of that. Got to be an open-mindedness.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. President, do you have an introduction? President?
Senator from the 7th.
Or the Senator from the 17th, but if the Senator from the 33rd has an introduction, I will yield to that introduction.
The Senator from Webster, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Senator. I speak unanimous consent to introduce a special guest this morning.
Hearing no objection, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this is a very appropriate time to introduce this guest. On your right, seated, is Mr. Tim Bean. Tim has been a fire chief in West Plains for 20-plus years. He has been a law enforcement official. He's on the SWAT team, et cetera, like that. And yesterday in the city of St. Louis, he met the governor, and it was announced that Tim was the governor's nominee to be the new state fire marshal. And this is an appropriate time to introduce him so you can see what's going on with the boards and appointments and et cetera like that. So I would like for the body to make him well. And if any of them care to do so, they can step over on the side and visit with the team. Great guy. Looking forward to having him on the team of the governor and on our team, too. Thank you.
Let's please welcome the guest from the Senator from Webster here with us this morning in the chamber. Please make him welcome. Senator from the 7th, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to inquire the Senator from the 17th.
Senator from the 17th, you yield from an inquiry from the Senator from the 7th.
I do.
You may proceed.
Senator, I wanted to take just a brief moment to talk to you, and first to say that I'm going to support this nominee.
So am I.
I'm going to vote in favor of her. I'm going to sit down and have that vote shortly. But once again, this is advice and consent. And this is the advice portion of that that was unable to be achieved because we didn't achieve a meeting. The advice I have for...
I will say she came by and talked to me. I was impressed, and I'll be supporting her.
And eminently qualified, background experience is good. Again, out of state, it's not a disqualifier. I'd prefer to prioritize Missourians, as I said in my previous inquiry, but, you know, this is the person that he's chosen. So the advice I have for her that, again, would have liked to have discussed directly with the governor about is the focus of transparency. Focus and purpose of transparency. We've coming out of years where the Department of Corrections has had very public documented problems. And rather it be execution drugs that are purchased allegedly, apparently, on a black market using cash, rather it be reports that were done on behalf of the state that the state paid for that were not being released, even when a judge ordered it.
Sure.
My advice is to go into this with as much transparency as you possibly can to reestablish the confidence that the citizens can have in their Department of Corrections.
Well, there's certainly no question that this department, probably more than any other department, is in need of serious reform from within. You and I had the opportunity, we both sit on appropriations, and yesterday we were going over the portion of the budget for the Legal Defense Fund, and there was a discussion about how much we expect to be paying out of the Legal Defense Fund, which is probably going to be in the order of $16 to $20 million in the next year in settlements and judgments against the state, many of which are coming out of this department directly, whether it's, most of them are former employees or current employees that are being harassed, that are being discriminated against, that are being retaliated against. The most famous instance right now is the one of the employee who testified in the trial of another employee and then was retaliated against, which led to a report. The department hired a consultant to go make a report, investigate the claims. The consultant did so and issued a report about those claims. And so this department needs...
With the conversation in the Senate, we need to keep it down so the two senators can debate.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senators, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. So this department needs some serious house cleaning. And transparency would be a good place to start. My suggestion to the department, my suggestion to the governor would be that if a judge orders the release of a report, you should release it. And that's happened. As far as the judge is concerned.
Yeah.
The judge has made the order to release the report. My understanding is it's still very difficult to get access to that report.
And that's its own problem that maybe we'll discuss in a future setting for another appropriate reason that may not have anything to do with this nominee.
Correct. But I will say that I've discussed with this nominee when she came by my office the issues within the department, specifically that report. Before I had an opportunity to read it, I knew of its existence. I've now had an opportunity to read it. But discussed with her the issues in the department, the need for a house cleaning, and she expressed to me that she was willing and able to go in and do what needed to be done in this department. So I'm excited to give her that chance. That being said, over the next few years, we're going to see if those changes materialize, and I will be very interested in following that.
Well, I've appreciated the amount of time that you've invested into researching some of the problems that Department of Corrections has had during our discussions. It is appalling. to read and to learn about some of the work environments and conditions that are going on in a state department.
Yeah, frankly, I would love to come out here on the floor and read it for all of our colleagues, but that would be highly inappropriate. That's how bad that report is.
Yeah. And so I wanted to, again, have this exercise to show the new senators that when you want to discuss these issues, you have the right as a senator to do what we're doing here and to let our voices for our constituents be heard about these appointments.
Absolutely, Senator.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the Jefferson.
May I inquire of the senator from the 7th?
Senator from the 7th, do you yield for an inquiry from the senator from Jefferson?
I do.
You may proceed.
Senator, earlier in your conversation, you kind of struck a note with me. I want to review with you what you said, how the prior governor went about doing his appointments, kind of step by step. Tell me what you said.
This is my primary experience. I imagine you're about to tell me another primary experience, and that's where I want to get to trying to iron out how this process should work. So let me tell you mine. I was contacted by the person that was responsible for these appointments within the administration. Their initial contact was, we've identified a citizen within your district that we believe has the talent and the resume to fit this vacancy. We would like to acquire your sponsorship. At that point in time, I was presented with the resume, I was presented with a background report, and then it was on me to decide how much information I wanted to get directly from the citizen that was appointed. I typically will schedule a meeting in the district for a cup of coffee to sit down with them and have a face-to-face to do my own personal vetting to make sure that I feel like they are a good fit and that I'm willing to sponsor them. And then once I made that determination, I would write their letter, I would submit it, and then I became their sponsor. That's how I went about it.
You had a totally different experience than I did, and I want to share with you my experience because I guess maybe every governor deals with every senator in a different fashion. I was never consulted about anything. I usually read the press release the same day as my office received the letter saying that the governor had appointed a person. I even one time had issues with the process that the governor used to appoint the person, and the governor withdrew the nomination only to wait until the day we left this building at the end of session and reappointed that same person to that position in the interim. So I guess my point in standing up and wanting to talk to you about this a little bit is,
sure,
I don't think we can say the current governor is doing things wrong when we look at the past governor and say he was doing things right, because your experience and my experience are totally different.
Then let's take your experience and let's make that a part of the advice today on what not to do.
Well, and I think I don't have a problem with that, but I just want to set the record straight. I don't want people that are out there listening to this debate think that the prior governor somehow did everything, you know, in accordance with the Senate, cared about our advice and consent, because in my opinion, he didn't.
I respect your experience. I welcome that to the discussion, and I hope that we can incorporate your contribution to this discussion into the how things are going to go in the future.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 1st, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire the senator from Green.
Senator from Green. Senator from the Green has appeared in the chamber. Senator from Green, do you yield to the senator from the 1st for an inquiry?
I always yield, Mr. President.
You may proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator. You know, I was listening to your inquiry with the senator from the 7th, and you said something that that sort of stuck with me. You made the point that with respect to this particular subject matter that you have criticized the prior governor, you have complimented the prior governor. And it occurs to me that I'm probably about ready to do both things myself. I'll say this. I like the inclusion of some out-of-state perspective in what we see in front of us. And, to the senator from the 7th point, I think if the remaining cabinet positions were all filled with out-of-staters, I would have concern about that. At the same time, I do think in some ways it's a breath of fresh air to have some perspectives from other states be brought into the cabinet in Missouri. I think that that's helpful. And I say, with respect to the two nominees in front of us, I share the senator from the 17th's concerns about the state of our Department of Corrections, and I'm hopeful that this appointee will help to reorder things there. With respect to the appointee for Department of Natural Resources, clearly qualified, I suspect, just as a matter of political philosophy, she and I might not agree on 100 out of 100 issues that DNR takes up, but that's okay. That's not the test.
That's not our role to get into policy here.
That's right. So. That's right. I will make the observation that of the first five cabinet appointees that we have, four of them are women, and I think that that's great. I think that that's great. I'm particularly pleased to see a former state treasurer confirmed for Office of Administration. I think that that's a really congruent fit.
And there's more. There's more coming. I had a chance to visit with the appointee to lead the State Highway Patrol.
Right.
He's not on this list, but I think going beyond the normal bounds in whether it's that or geography, I think is certainly a good idea.
Now, here's the one concern that I do want to express today. After all, it is February 9th. The election was 3 months ago yesterday. And, Senator, out of the 11 cabinet positions that the governor gets to pick, we got five names. And I don't know where that was 8 years ago. I don't know where that was 12 years ago with prior administrations. But at this point, I understand there may be an announcement forthcoming today on health and senior services. But as I stand here, I'm not aware of an appointee for the Department of Economic Development, Insurance, Fiscal, Financial Institutions, and Professional Registrations, the Department of Labor and Industrial Relations, the Department of Revenue, which in my view has a lot of explaining to do about Senate Bill 19, and Social Services. We don't have, we're 3 months later, we still don't have more than half the picks that the governor gets to make, and I recognize that there are five cabinet positions that the governor doesn't get to appoint.
Well, this is a good time to say, I just had the opportunity to visit with the senator from Webster's constituent he introduced, that's been appointed as state fire marshal, and one of the things in expressing support I said was thank you, and this goes for all of the appointees, but thank you for being willing to do this.
Because, absolutely.
Number one, it's hard to find people who, it's not hard to find people with good ideas, but to find people who have good ideas, who have the experience, who have a track record, and are also willing to go through putting all of their personal finances out there for the world to see. Sure. And we're not just talking, I can see that we can do that, but to ask somebody to serve on the board of, you know, barbers to do the same thing, it's hard to find people to fill all these spots. So it is public service, and I'm very grateful that they're willing to do it.
And I'm glad that many of these other positions, or some of these other positions at least, have been announced sub-cabinet level, but the cabinet, pretty important. And
yes,
we're standing here 3 months later. We have five out of 11, and I would just hope that we're not standing here 3 months from now with less than 11 of the ones that the governor gets to pick.
So I don't think there's been – I really don't perceive any effort to block people.
No.
So it's not – it's – you know, it just is – it takes time to get things up and going. Just as I mentioned earlier, when Governor Nixon did have a challenge at the very beginning of the administration with the person handling boards and commissions, number one, it's difficult for any chief executive who doesn't have a wide knowledge of people who have served or – might serve it if they didn't, and this was the issue there in that administration. There just wasn't, there wasn't a large pool. There were people willing to do it, but there was a disconnect there.
Yeah.
And so then, three or four people into it, it just took time. And then, of course, by then you start getting people saying, "I can't do this anymore." So you start the whole. And we just never caught up. And then you add on to that, adding more boards and commissions and more positions. We need to go back. I know we had this discussion a few years ago. We need to go back and there's a lot we need to restructure in state government. But we need to go back and consolidate and eliminate some of the boards and commissions.
Well, and boards and commissions are one thing. Cabinet's another.
Oh, yeah. I don't disagree. I just thought it was worth – that's a throwaway comment, but I thought I'd –
I would hope that we have a much better sense pretty quickly as to who these other six people are going to be. And I have no intention standing here to block anybody. I say that we're a month into session, and I still don't know who half of the cabinet's going to be.
Well, I'm confident they're working very diligently on
that. And
I
don't doubt that.
The little bit that I do know, and I know there have been efforts to reach out to members and discuss, because I've heard from all of these people, and I'm aware that the appointees have tried to visit, or have visited, rather, with every member, and I
greatly appreciate that, and I'll further compliment. Yeah, I've heard from every one of these five, and I'm very happy with, had great conversations with each one of them, and I greatly appreciate both their taking the time and making the effort to do that, and also the administration encouraging them to do so. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Does any other senator desire to be heard before the senator from Newton is recognized to close? Senator from Newton, you're recognized to close. The Senator from Newton moves that committee report be adopted and the Senate do give its advice and consent to set appointment. Those of the opinion the motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The committee report is adopted. Madam Secretary, please read the committee report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments, to which was referred the following appointment: Carol S. Comer, 10, 10541 Dunes Court, Indianapolis, Marion County, Indianapolis, 46239, as Director of the Department of Natural Resources for a term ending at the pleasure of the Governor and until her successor is duly appointed and qualified. Begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate do give its advice and consent to said appointment. Respectfully submitted, Senator Richard, Chairman.
Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, I move the committee report be adopted and the Senate give its advice and consent on the appointment of Carol Comer, Department of Natural Resources.
You've heard the motion made by the Senator from Newton. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you rise?
I'd like to inquire of the Senator from the 14th.
Senator from the 14th, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from the 7th?
Yes, Mr. President.
You may proceed.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
I will be brief on this one as well. You and I had a conversation. We have very different reasons for why we wanted to discuss this. We may agree, but we had different reasons for why we wanted to have this conversation. I want to, since this is my inquiry, I wanted to talk about mine first, and then we can talk about your reasons. My advice, again, if this could have been delivered to the governor, I would have been happy to do so. My advice is to acknowledge and look at the science of climate change. And I know that it's not an incredibly popular thing in this room for the members to embrace, but it is happening all around us. There is evidence almost every day that we are frogs in a pot and we are beginning to boil. And if we don't take action on that, it's going to be too late and our children are going to deal with the devastation. And you want to talk about economic impact, deal with disasters that this extreme weather has been producing. The science is clear. And my advice for our new director would be to delve deeply into that science. Take time to familiarize yourself with what is happening in our natural environment. You are the Director of Natural Resources. You are the person that's going to be responsible for leading the state in a way that helps improve those circumstances. And to not understand the science and to not study the science would be a derelict of the responsibilities that we're getting ready to appoint you to. The second part of this is that the priority for DNR should be clean air and clean water. And I understand she has a wonderful track record of moving populations into clean air zones. And this came out in the conversation I had with her. That's excellent. Please continue to take the programs that work for you in Indiana and apply them to Missouri so that we can also move populations into better clean air zones. As you know, I'm an outdoorsman. I probably take 8 to 10 floats a year in Missouri rivers. It's one of the reasons why we choose to make Missouri our home. And I would ask that any time commercial interest gets in the way of that clean water, rather it's a CAFO, rather it's a manufacturing facility, that clean water that we use to fish in and to canoe in and to swim in, that clean water is more important than the profits of that company. And I would ask her to prioritize the natural environment first in Missouri. It's what we're known for. It's where the rivers run. So let's keep the rivers running clean. And finally, on the park system, it's my understanding they closed J. Nixon Park. The reason given is for safety concerns about access into the park. I understand that. I'm not arguing with that. I understand there's an effort to change the name of J. Nixon Park because some folks didn't like the way that that naming went. I mean, I appreciate the service of the governor of the last past 8 years, but if that's the choice of this chamber, then that's the choice. But prioritize our park system. They are a crown jewel of the state. They are what makes us proud, and they are why people visit us in record numbers year after year to enjoy our parks. So instead of closing parks, instead of trying to sell parks, let's prioritize their maintenance and their beauty and their usage for all of us to enjoy. And if we can get those goals accomplished, then I'm sure she'll do a fantastic job. And I just wanted to say my piece on her nomination.
Thank you, Senator. I want to say that this is one of the most important appointments for the district that I represent, not just the district, but the region that I come from. I have, for the last couple of years, done extensive research, as you know, in radioactive waste. It's the only thing that I talk about anymore. It used to be education, which is vital still for our young people in urban areas who have been failed for generations. And then it became Ferguson, where we had civil unrest and a lot of people who have been traumatized by excessive force and having to go through the economic inequities that exist as well. And the next issue that has come up that I have been part of for the last 4 years now, actually we're almost at 5 years I've been dealing with radioactive waste and have had to learn a lot. In my research that I found is that the Department of Natural Resources has been instrumental in making sure that the EPA is not pulling the wool over our eyes. The EPA, as I have said before, has been absolutely terrible in dealing with the issue and the legacy of radioactive waste in St. Louis. What people will find out when they come to my PowerPoint is that for 51 years, we have had radioactive waste exposed. The alpha and beta particulates, as well as gamma rays, and it's caused people to get sick. And just last weekend, I decided to look into a different set of boxes of research dealing with different toxic waste dioxin. And two of the senators who are in St. Louis County, the senator from the 24th, as well as the senator from the 15th, both of them have exposure dioxin in their districts that they've had to deal with, people who have gotten sick as well. I typically pay attention to my own district, but you know, I am coming into contact. I'm finding more and more information that we have a lot of waste throughout the state. But as it comes to this issue of radioactive waste, DNR has always been a stickler, historically, I should say. So the late 80s, in the 1990s, they are the ones, they are the entity, the governmental body that dotted the I's and crossed the T's. In recent years, they've been a little bit more lax when it comes to providing information. Groundwater in areas that I represent was only tested in the last 2 months of last year, and that is a little bit late, especially with the former Attorney General's studies where he found off-site contamination, including benzene in trees and in groundwater, etc. So I took this opportunity to not only meet with the appointee for the Department of DNR, but I don't know if I get to say his name. I don't know if he's a lobbyist or not, but it's staffer who used to work in the Senate. I took some time to talk to him again yesterday, and I did the same thing for another one of the appointments, the public safety appointee. I had two meetings with him, and I tested him on the issues that affect my community. But what I am talking about is a pro-life issue. Our state literally should be getting billions of dollars to clean up the waste that is in St. Louis in multiple Senate seats, but mainly in the one that I represent. And I really hope that there are no outside entities that are willing to push back on this appointee for DNR and say, can you just please not do as much work as you're doing? I hope that she does not listen to some of these entities who are out here who have a financial interest in doing absolutely nothing. As you were talking earlier about our waterways, it's important to know, like, have you ever gone down Merrimack River?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so Merrimack River is really important when it comes to, like, Times Beach. I think the senator from the 15th perhaps represents that area. Have you ever, it's not something a creek that you could go down, but Deer Creek in St. Louis, the senator perhaps from the 24th, who I don't know which one represents Frontenac, but Deer Creek has also had dioxin contamination. And there are people who have lived in these areas who subsequently have gotten ill because of waste that has been allowed to be stored in those areas. And I do have a concern when it comes to an appointee who is from out of town. At the end of the day, we are all Missourians, and we have to stand up for Missourians. I want her to have the same passion that she did for Indianians, I guess, as
Hoosiers.
Missourians. Hoosiers, I guess. I didn't know that, but Hoosiers. Now, this is a huge issue. If you walk outside of my office, you will see pictures of children who have either died or who have very, very rare brain cancers. And I take this very seriously. You know, the opposite of me being calm is, Governor Nixon didn't appreciate the way that I dealt with things, but I was firm on how I felt about the situation in my community. And I am not going to let up on this issue. I want every single employee who has previously dealt with this issue of radioactive waste to be empowered. I want them to be able to exercise every single strength they have to make sure our federal government and our state, to some degree, to a lesser degree, is accountable for what the price that people are paying for an action that was done 70 years ago. We are losing a great number of people in Missouri. I don't know if you remember the discussion of redistricting. I have more people who live in the Senate, the 14th Senate District, than any other senator in this body. And one of the reasons for that is because we lost 39,000 people. So we not only took residents from the 7th District, but we took residents and population from the 13th District. The commonality of all those two things, one, you have Coldwater Creek, and then two, you have the Bridgeton landfill. So I also think by at least 2030, we will lose another congressional district in Missouri due to the amount of contamination that has been allowed to happen for decades in the state of Missouri. So I really do hope that this appointee takes my requests and takes every single opportunity that I offer very seriously, and will try to understand a very complex issue. It is absolutely complex, but employees at DNR, they have done a really good job historically. The last couple of years, maybe 4, 5, 6 years, not so much, because I don't think they felt empowered by the administration. But I really do hope under this appointee, they will do as much as possible. And I did find out yesterday that there are a number of employees who are ready for retirement. And there is a lot of institutional knowledge in that body of people. And I hope that they, in some way or some fashion, if they are related to the issue of radioactive waste, that their expertise will be used so the next person who's coming along will be as equipped as they can be on this issue. Again, this is about saving lives in Missouri, saving lives in St. Louis. We should be proud that our state took such a huge part in protecting democracy in our country and around the world. That's what makes St. Louis or Missouri so unique, is that we are the ones who allowed for Hiroshima to happen. We are the ones who allowed for Nagasaki to happen, and we didn't know what the danger would be. But today, the people who I represent and the people who the senator from the 7th and the 14th, I'm sorry, from the 24th and the 13th represent, they are literally paying the price for what we did in the 1940s and 50s. So I hope that, again, the appointee takes that very seriously. And when I ask for water samples of groundwater, soil samples, et cetera, that happens. When the people who live around Westlake landfill, when they want to have air quality tests, those are done. When we want to check up on the fire in the landfill and know what its proximity is to what the known radioactive waste is, DNR will step up and not have a pause at all and follow up. We are concerned as well because we still have Callaway, and you know the Missouri River goes through North St. Louis, through St. Charles, North St. Louis. So, and then we have the confluence at the end of the Missouri and the Mississippi. So this is a huge issue. We should all be concerned about our water quality. As I told the senator from St. Francis, our contaminated water, it reaches him. The senator from Jefferson, our contaminated water reaches him. So when we have a flood and that water, a lot of that polluted water is going to the senator from Francois' district, the senator from, I think even the senator from Butler, and all of their constituencies should be concerned. And we have a legacy that needs to be cleaned up. And I think it's absolutely intolerable if the state of Missouri does absolutely nothing to make people aware of the radioactive waste and other toxins that exist in the state.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you rise?
Speak on the motion.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to thank my colleagues. I know it's Thursday. I realize that today's getaway day, and I wanted to go through this discussion. I wanted to show the process can happen for each one of us to weigh in on the advice and consent portion. Some of the things I've said may be construed as being critical of the governor, but I wanted to let him know that they are truly intended to be constructive. They're not intended to be critical for the sake of. And I would just reiterate my desire to keep that line of communication open today and in the future on these issues, that we have a constitutional role to play and that we welcome the partnership of those discussions. I want to praise him for selecting the women that he has. I think that it's a wonderful step forward to bring different perspectives into our state government. I had a meeting this morning with Lieutenant Colonel Karsten. It was outstanding. I'm very appreciative of her appointment and will be very supportive of her confirmation, and so I thank him for that. And I just want to have the opportunity provided today to have this exercise and have this discussion, and I appreciate your time, Mr. President. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Does any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none. Senator from Newton, you are recognized to close.
Renew my motion.
The senator from Newton moves that the committee report be adopted and Senate do give its advice and consent to set appointment. Those of the opinion the motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The committee report is adopted. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of second reading of Senate bills.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for second reading. Senator from Newton.
Senate Bill 367.
Senate Bill 367, an act relating to power sport vehicle franchise practices.
Transportation, infrastructure, public safety. Senate Bill 368.
Senate Bill 368, an act relating to the disclosure of financial information submitted to the Department of Natural Resources.
Agriculture, food production, outdoor products. Senate Bill 369.
Senate Bill 369, an act relating to transportation of school children.
Transportation, infrastructure, public safety. Senate Bill 370.
Senate Bill 370, an act relating to permits issued by the Department of Conservation.
Ways and Means. Senate Bill 371.
Senate Bill 371, an act relating to hemp extract.
Health and Pensions, Senate Bill 372.
Senate Bill 372, an act relating to the existence of certain state administrative entities.
Professional Registration, Senate Bill 373.
Senate Bill 373, an act relating to the Missouri Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Program.
Agriculture, Food Production, Outdoor Resources, Senate Bill 374.
Senate Bill 374, an act relating to service dogs.
Families and Children, Senate Bill 375.
Senate Bill 375, an act relating to abortion.
Seniors, Families and Children, Senate Bill 376.
Senate Bill 376, an act relating to the designation of a state dog.
General Laws, Senate Bill 377.
Senate Bill 377, an act relating to child custody arrangements.
Seniors, Families and Children, Senate Bill 378.
Senate Bill 378, an act relating to early childhood education.
Education, Senate Bill 379.
Senate Bill 379, an act relating to autocycles.
Transportation, Infrastructure, Public Safety, Senate Bill 380.
Senate Bill 380, an act relating to the Department of Transportation corridor.
Transportation, Infrastructure, Public Safety, Senate Bill 381.
Senate Bill 381, an act relating to reports issued by the state auditor.
Professional registration. Senate Bill 382.
Senate Bill 382, an act relating to maintaining Missouri State Parks.
Agriculture, Food Production, Outdoor Resources, Senate Bill 383.
Senate Bill 383, an act relating to joint and several liability.
Insurance and Banking, Senate Bill 384.
Senate Bill 384, an act relating to the Public Service Commission assessment to public utilities.
Commerce, Consumer Protection, Energy, Environment, Senate Bill 385.
Senate Bill 385, an act relating to privileged communications between peer support specialists and law enforcement and emergency services personnel.
Judiciary, Civil, and Criminal Jurisprudence, Senate Bill 386.
Senate Bill 386, an act relating to competition in the insurance market.
Insurance and Banking, Senate Bill 387.
Senate Bill 387, an act relating to long-term care certificates of need.
Health and Pensions, Senate Bill 388.
Senate Bill 388, an act relating to dental faculty permits.
Professional Registration, Senate Bill 389.
Senate Bill 389, an act relating to initiative petitions.
Local Government Elections, Senate Bill 390.
Senate Bill 390, an act relating to an additional circuit judge in the 17th Judicial Circuit.
Judiciary, Civil, and Criminal Jurisprudence, Senate Bill 391.
Senate Bill 391, an act relating to commercial motor vehicle routes.
Transportation, Infrastructure, Public Safety.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on second reading.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on second reading. Senator from Newton.
House Bill 95.
House Bill 95, an act relating to evidence for the cost of medical care and treatment.
Government Reform, House Bill 153.
House Bill 153, an act relating to expert witnesses.
Government Reform.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of third reading of Senate bills.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for third reading. Senator, we are going to Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 16, Senator from the 8th.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 16 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
Senator from the 8th moves that Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute Senate Bill 16 be taken up for third reading and final passage. As many of those of the opinion that the motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 8th.
Mr. President, I now move that Senate Bill 16 be read a third time and finally passed.
Senator from the 8th moves that Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 16 be third read and put upon its final passage. Does the Senator care to explain the bill?
I will be glad to. Mr. President, we discussed this bill leave last week on Wednesday. Went to fiscal oversight, came out of fiscal oversight this morning. This bill is basically putting into law the exemption of having to pay sales and use tax on delivery fees. I'll be glad to explain more if there's any questions.
Does any senator desire to be heard? Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from 8th, recognized close.
I close.
Senator from 8 renews his motion that Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute Senate Bill 16 be read a third time and finally passed. Secretary, read the bill and call the roll.
Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 16, an act relating to sales and use taxes for delivery charges. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon.
Aye.
Igel.
Aye.
Emery. Hageman.
Aye.
Holzman. Hoskins.
Aye.
Hummel. Kehoe.
Aye.
Koenig. Kraus. Leibler.
Aye.
Munslinger.
Aye.
Nasheed.
Aye.
Onder.
Aye.
Richard.
Aye.
Riddle.
Aye.
Rizzo.
Aye.
Romine.
Aye.
Rowden.
Aye.
Sater.
Aye.
Schoff.
Aye.
Schatz.
Aye.
Shoup.
Aye.
Sifton.
Aye.
Sylvie.
Aye.
Wallingford.
Aye.
Walsh.
Aye.
Wasson.
Aye.
Whelan.
Aye.
By your vote of 32 ayes and 0 noes, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared pass. Hear him no objection. Let the journal show that the title and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you inquire from the Secretary if there are messages from the Governor? If so, I would ask the reading to be waived and that they be printed in the journal.
Madam Secretary, are there messages from the Governor? Your request will be accepted and they will be waived and printed in the journal.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection.
Senator from Newton.
Would you please refer the gubernatorial appointments to the Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments?
So referred. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the order of business will be reports of standing committees, and I'd ask you to recognize me for a report.
Hearing no objection. Senator from Cole, you are recognized for a report from standing committee.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics has a report.
Please send your report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate substitute for Senate Bill No. 182, begs leave to report that it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully submitted, Senator Kehoe, Chairman.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. The senator from the ninth is disturbing me. Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Hearing no objections, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements. Announcements. Hearing none. Senator from Cole.
Mr. President, no further business coming for the body. I move that the Senate stand adjourned until 4 p.m. Monday, February 13th, 2017.
Senator from Cole moves that the Senate stand adjourned till Monday at 4 p.m. on February the 13th. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will be adjourned till February the 13th on Monday till 4 p.m.